welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are Reclaiming the Republic, but we need your help, as I always say. There's no way this is a one-man show, and the help we really need is not you to carry all the weight. We need you to help get the message out. We need you to start connecting dots that point to our state legislators and getting the state legislators active and involved in, active and involved in getting the Republic Review initiated and educating their electorate. This is a train-the-trainer approach. There are grassroots efforts is going on as well. I know most people are kind of, I'll just say, they live in the grassroots area. They, you know, work at the grassroots, and they look at the grassroots as the only way. You know, the vacuum works in two different ways. On one end, it sucks, and on the other end, it blows. And so both of those move air, and both of those can actually, you know, we use the blower side of the vacuum to blow leaves. And then we use the sucking side to suck up debris and so forth. You can use the vacuum in two different ways. And so what we're trying to do is, as the grassroots tries to build the movement, I think it's more effective if we get the top, if we get our leaders involved in the movement, our state legislators, as they become the trainers, then they can actually help work with the grassroots organizations. That's got to make sense. And as a matter of fact, this is how they can lead, and they can develop their leadership so that more and more people get the message, more and more people get excited, and build a movement much faster. When you have patriots all around the country recognizing just the evil that is coming from Mordor on the Potomac, the Biden administration, Washington, D.C., is, it seems like they're trying to destroy America. And as a matter of fact, it doesn't seem like it. That is their goal. That's been their goal. Washington has said in his farewell address that there are many jealous within the world that would like to see America fail. They've been working and working. Look how long this republic, in the way it was built, has been able to withstand all of these pressures that we really haven't truly felt yet. Now, I believe that they're trying to actually create a condition where it doesn't seem like we fall, where some invader has to come in, and because even though we have invaders already coming in, that's for a different purpose. But when we start looking at, you know, the state and the situation, I think what they're just trying to do is they're just trying to flip. I think they're just trying to slowly get enough people to flip to say, yeah, okay, we'll try something new. They can't do that. The Constitution requires three-fourths of the states to allow something new to be done. As long as they can continue to violate the Constitution, and even if they violate the Constitution by discarding it, and the states don't allow, and states actually say, don't step in to stop it. This is why we need 13 states. We need 13 states, and we need them quick. We need to get 13 states on board with taking a stand against the federal government's violations of the Constitution so that they can lay down the law and let everybody understand that if you do not use the Constitution, then what you're doing is unconstitutional and you can't do it. Therefore, this is why we need to get Republic Review moving, because 13 states can save us from a discarding of the Constitution, because it'll be 13 states that will say, hey, where did we give you the authority to actually allow us to change our government out from underneath us? We are the parties to the compact, not you. You need our approval. You need us to formally delegate that power and formally allow that to happen. So what we need is your help. We need to get a listener drive going, and we need to get more and more people educated on the simple facts of the Constitution. One of the things you can point to is you can point to, I believe, March 29th to May 28th. Those are the ratification debate dialogues. That's my reading of the ratification debates, editorializes, and so forth. And so point to those on our podcast page and get people to start listening to these things so that they can actually hear for themselves just how well-defined the Constitution was in the ratification debates. That was their job. That was what they were trying to do. They were trying to make sure that everybody in the room understood what each line meant. And so what we want to do is we want you to get involved and help grow the show. And so you, one of the things I tell you to do is you need to get involved with the National Liberty Alliance as well as the Constitution Party. Go attend your Republican Party meeting. When it comes down to it, we have Republican parties that are supporting Republic Review. The reality is that when we have enough Republican parties supporting Republic Review at state levels, the RNC will come in and they will flex their muscle and say, we own this brand. We have been allowing you to use this, but you must cease and desist. And when that happens, where do you go? Well, that means that the mad dash over to the Constitution Party has to occur. But we need to allow that to happen, because the electorate who's not actively involved in the party has to see and has to understand, wow, the National Republican Party, the RNC, is drawing a line that says they're not going to support the Constitution. And then you will know who the enemy really is, because they have not been lifting one finger to actually support our liberty and support basically retaining our Constitution and allowing us to actually undo all of these unconstitutional things. Now, we have a comment line. You got a question or a comment? 425-270-5416. That's the number you call. 425-270-5416. And so we're going to get into some content. I'm going to actually try to do some content for next week. One of them is definitely going to be Madison's paragraph on our essay on property. It's a few paragraphs. It's maybe two pages. But we're also going to get into the cod fishery bounties, because Madison lays it out how the states, government, businesses, there can be no giving of welfare from government in any form, especially the federal government. And he uses shock value and so forth, but we'll get into that. And at the same time, because we're trying to take a good snapshot of what was really happening in the very beginning of the Republic, as they just started, you know, turning the engine on and moving this federal government down the road in doing the things it was supposed to do. Well, one of the things that occurred was the Assumption Act. And we'll kind of talk about it. We'll give you some history about it and how we were basically handed a violation of the Constitution, where it was poorly handled. And as a matter of fact, I think that was one of the things that, you know, really bothered Madison probably to the grave. I do realize that there were issues regarding the banking, and maybe there was a deficiency. Maybe there is a problem with the Constitution. But Madison was not willing to address it for whatever reason. And it's probably because of the Assumption Act. He kind of allowed that to happen. Not directly, but he just basically... And this is how you can be a part of the problem. See, Madison was fighting the Assumption Act. He said, this is unconstitutional. You can't do this. The Uniformity Clause requires that we treat each state uniformly. And the Assumption Act was to assume the debt of those few states left that didn't pay their debt. And so what Madison was trying to do was he was really trying to say, we can't do this and draw that line. Well, there was a reason, and he did some things. And anyway, I don't want to get into all the details now. We've got some marketing to get into. We're going to talk about Terry McAuliffe. We're going to talk about some events and some things that have happened. But more importantly, we're going to talk about how you just sitting there, you know, trying to vote and trying to do those things, that is not enough. That is not engaged in the problem. The problem is the federal government is exercising powers it has no business exercising. So what that means is that you cannot sit on your hands. If you are, because we're all required to support. Support is an active function. Supporting the Constitution requires activity. You have to hold it up. You have to defend it. You have to do those things in supporting it so that we can maintain and preserve our liberty. So if you're not actively involved in supporting it in some way and getting people to become aware that they're obligated to support it, the obligation comes from citizenship. If you are a U.S. citizen, that citizen's oath is implied. Whatever it takes to become what you're in, what you are by birth, those are implied things. If you become born into the Jewish faith, there are implied things that you are Jewish, so forth and so on. Anyway, when we come back, we'll get into Terry McAuliffe, and we'll get into some need-to-know news, as well as some news and events of the day that will probably shock you, and that's what we're all about. We're here to shock you and actually poke you in the eye and basically get you motivated so you'll help save this republic. We'll be right back after these two promos. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about McAuliffe, because McAuliffe, he is running for Virginia. He has done a lot of damage, and he has been instrumental in the Democratic Party and some of the shenanigans that have had adverse effects. And so, just so you understand, here's the guy. He's about 64 years old. He's been around a while, and he got his start in the Democratic Party with working with Jimmy Carter. And so he has done, you know, campaign work for Jimmy Carter, the re-election, those types of things. And obviously he has some failures under his belt, But he's been a hard worker. He's been one of those guys that has benefited because of his who he knows type of thing. But what we want to really get into is when he really started, because he did things like sealing driveways. He was actually a hardworking Joe in making millions of dollars in, you know, creating these businesses to go and do things, services and what have you, to where he actually had enough money to where he started a bank in Washington, D.C. I think it was a federal bank or some kind. But anyway, Mr. McCullough, in the mid-1990s, actually it was 1997, he invested $100,000 as an angel investor in a company called Global Crossing. Now, Global Crossing was supposedly this up-and-coming telecommunication company, and it was registered in Bermuda. It's already hiding stuff. And so Global Crossing went public in 1998. And in 1999, McCullough sold the majority of his holdings for $8.1 million. So here's this company that got created. And they started getting contracts and started getting invested. I remember I actually got hit by a Global Crossing usage when I was using AT&T. And I go, who's this Global Crossing? Anyway, after he pulls out his $8.1 million, because what happened was, remember, this is the dot-com craze. This is before the dot-coms all collapsed and fell. He created what they called a shelled business plan and a business, and people flooded money into this. So just remember, $100,000 is what he invested. He pulls out his holdings of $8.1 million as they basically inflated the perception of this company. And so McCullough had faced criticism after making seven figures on his Global Crossing investment when the company declared bankruptcy a year later with 12,000 people losing their jobs and, you know, and other people losing money outright. On April 22nd, 2016, McCullough, while he was, I believe this is while he was the governor, he was governor of Virginia, and he signed an executive order. This is where it started to happen. In the 2000s, Democrats started realizing, hey, we need to get these former felons who are no longer in jail. We've got a high population of criminals. We need to reinstate their election. This is not fair that they, you know, just because they did bad to society, it's not fair that they can't vote anymore. They deserve representation. When actually the paradigm for centuries was, you commit a crime, you lose your ability to vote. Well, anyway, so McCullough signed an executive order restoring voting rights to more than 200,000 convicted felons in Virginia. The order was initially overturned by the Supreme Court of Virginia as a violation of the Constitution of Virginia, ruling that the governor does not have the authority to grant blanket pardons and restoration rights. Okay, so did that persuade him? Did that change McCullough's perspective on doing what he was doing? Okay, well, they caught us. We're not going to do that. So on August 22nd, 2016, McCullough announced that he had restored voting rights to almost 13,000 felons individually using an auto pin. In other words, he found a back door in saying, okay, I can't create a blanket, you know, just this blanket ability for people to vote, but I'm going to start using this auto pin, basically singly doing it one at a time. Anyway, Republican leadership in the state filed a contempt of court motion against McCullough for the action, but it was turned down by the Virginia Supreme Court. And by the end of his term, McCullough had restored voting rights for almost all 200,000. It was 173,000 released felons. And you do know how these guys, basically, he was unleashing a voter block for the Democrats, because it's not like these people have found their morals and, you know, wanted to make sure that people's liberty was being preserved. These guys understood, hey, you know, this is all about the game and who's going to pay us off and who's going to be, you know, taking care of us so that we can do our crime or do less work. You have to understand that the Democratic Party has taken and embraced the communist planks, the communist paradigm. They're basically the Communist Party. As I tell people all the time, who is the Labor Party throughout the world? Throughout the world, the Labor Party is the Communist Party. Except in America, we call them the Democrat Party. Isn't that interesting? Because we can't call them what they really are. Because, well, then they'd have to answer to some people and go, well, yeah, that's... But ignore that. I mean, they don't want you to connect those dots. So on May 23rd, 2016, it was reported that McAuliffe was being probed by the Federal Bureau. This is 2016. This is before Trump got elected. And he was being probed by the Federal Bureau of Investigations, quote, over whether donations to his gubernatorial campaign violated law. One example cited was a donation of $120,000 from a Chinese businessman, Wang Wenliang. According to CNN, Wang's status as a legal permanent resident in the United States could make the donation legally under election law. Now, I just want you to understand that as we, you know, as we're looking at his involvements and so forth, Clinton, you got to understand, back in the 1990s, when Clinton set up his war room, the first thing he did when he took office, he turned, I think it was not the Oval Room, but he took a large room, and I think he handed it to, who's that, Carville, the, you know, that guy that's got that voice that just makes your skin crawl. He gave it to Ed Carville, and he basically converted this large room into the war room. And the whole focus was how can they get, they needed money, they needed, you know, assistance, they needed strategies, they needed narrative control. I mean, this became the center, the intel center of the Bill Clinton reelection campaign for 1996. And so there's no doubt McAuliffe was working with them at that point in time as well. And this is where he started making these Chinese Communist Party connections and so forth. And I've already told you that Bill Clinton was so steeped with China in getting the money he needed to create a war chest. This is why, friends, we have to actually pass the laws that do not allow any investment in politics. No money changes hands into the politician's hands that come from any entity outside their jurisdiction or area of responsibility. Now, so what does that mean? If somebody is a congressman, they have a congressional district that they represent. The only money they should be receiving is money through that, in, you know, that congressional district. And what I mean by that is that money has to actually come from there. It can't be funneled into there. It has to come from there. This is how we have to make our local elections local. Now, I've talked about this possibly, you know, in the past, but I want to get into this very quickly because this is a huge solution. What we want to do is we want to get this bill introduced in Wyoming this coming session. Because if Wyoming can pass this law that all elections are local, that the funding and support and endorsements must be locally driven, they cannot be purchased from outside the AOR. Now, in Cheney's case, Cheney is a representative that represents the entire state. Now, with a representative that represents the entire state, then anybody that works within the state can actually, you know, contribute. But let's talk about businesses. If Walmart operates in Wyoming, which they do, they can contribute, but they can only contribute the money that they made in Wyoming. In other words, Walmart can't funnel money from headquarters Arkansas and give all of this money to Cheney via the company finances. They actually have to use the finances of the few stores that they have in Wyoming, and they have to prove that that money came from the profits of the operations of those stores. In other words, that there is no external influence, profits coming from outside to try to buy influence. This is all about republicanism, and we'll get into it when we get back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so what we were just talking about is trying to make all elections local, because bottom line, we're a Republican form of government, period. So when you understand a Republican form of government, a Republican form of government is a representative government, but not just a representative government. It is also a government of a rule of laws. And our laws basically identify what we need to do and how, you know, how we're to support the Constitution and so forth. Well, how are we supporting republicanism and true representation when we allow Hollywood movie stars to influence the election of those who they think would be more representative for them? In other words, if they're buying Cheney, if they're buying this particular person, then if they're paying for their campaign and get them elected, they're doing that because they know that they will be more representative of them than their own constituents. We cannot allow entities, whether they be corporations or whether they be people, it doesn't matter where the money comes from, other than the fact that the money must come from the people of Wyoming. We have to shut down. You want to get all the corrupt money, because if you look at how much money goes into the election, and I'm going to tell you, the press, the TV, and all of these media outlets that make billions of dollars because of the election, they want to see all of this money poured into them because they make money. Well, they make money doing the regular content, but I'm telling you, they make a lot more money doing political advertising, because at the radio station I worked at, they actually charged more for political advertising. Because, hey, if you want to play here, and you would think that some would actually do it for free. Well, ideologically, yes, capitalist media outlets charge. That's why they go and they build these mega broadcasting, mega media companies. And what they end up doing is they become ideological and they give lower cost to those who align with their ideology. And as a matter of fact, they'll support it in other ways. They'll use the news media to promote those things that are, you know, ideologically aligned with them. So it's almost like they're doing more than just covering ads. They've abandoned the journalism. They've abandoned the scruples of what people would expect as a fair campaign, and they're allowing this huge promotion. It's just, they've become propaganda mills. But and that becomes another problem as well. But we have to make our elections local. And until we do, you're going to have rhinos constantly elected, people with a Republican name when they are clearly Democrats or communists, and they are not representing the people. So let me get back into the news. I just wanted to give you that we have to actually go down this path. We're going to try to create some legislation this summer so that we actually have something for you to actually start propagating and sending out to your legislators to say, this is a bill that you need to get passed. But I'm going to tell you that they can't pass it. What'll end up happening is that it will be killed in subcommittee. It will be placed in a drawer and never see the light of the day by the rhinos, because the rhinos are controlling the leadership in almost every state, even in Montana. So what we need to do, because we've seen some great things coming out of Montana lately, but what we need to do is we need to educate the champions for conservatism and republicanism and the Constitution. We need to get them to start talking and educating the voters of the state that they need to make, you know, take this bill, and they need to make a voter initiative in passing it to force all locals to all elections to be local. This way, you have actually closed down, and you're going to see a huge shift in who is going to be elected in office in the next election, because there's ain't going to be no other way that $70,000 can go in and buy a rhino. Soros will not be able to purchase an attorney general anymore. He won't be able to funnel money in to his 501c3 groups. Any nonprofit organizations and or PAC that has money that comes into them external, then they can't. I mean, the only money that they can contribute is the money that they raise internally, and they have to prove this. And so there has to be a full audit. You know, you actually have to see that, because they'll account for they received all of this money, but you have to actually go against the person who donated it, and did that money come out of their account? Okay, well, it did. Oh, and they're going to claim all this. This is how they get around it. They claim, this was all cash contributions. We don't know. Well, it doesn't matter. $1 and or more, or any penny, 1 cent and or more, you have to account. It's going to create this huge burden of, you know, how they have to account for money. Because a lot of times they'll say anything under $25, anything under $50, you know, cash under $50, you don't have to account. That doesn't happen anymore. Every penny must be accounted. And it's to punish those who are running campaigns that are trying to bypass these laws by getting people to give them 7 donations of $50 or less. Okay, that's $300-some dollars. Or 1,000 donations of $50 or less. Obama received millions, I say millions of dollars from overseas donations with small donations directly to the White House that were $5 each or what have you that didn't have to be reported. This all has to be shut down. Because when we allow institutions, because you can literally create a program that will just feed $5 contributions electronically, and they could probably give you 10,000 within a few minutes, because they can, that's how fast the electronic engagements can go. If you've got everything working on one side, it's like an FTP, send in a packet, and next thing you know, you've got this huge file sent across the wire. It's the same thing. Computers can act very efficiently and very, very fast. So anyway, one of the things I kind of want to point to, because there have been investigations, and I'm not sure if this has ever dawned on you, but the Constitution, and I've said this before, and we talked about this a couple of times during the ratification debates, the Constitution only gives the general government the power to dictate and, you know, identify the punishment for four crimes: treason, counterfeiting, crimes committed on the high seas, and crimes committed against the laws of nations. So when you hear something like Congress is investigating steroids in baseball, or and where in these four lists can Congress come up with a law that says you cannot lie to them? Well, so why would Congress be asking any type of question if they don't have any jurisdiction over criminal laws that they, other than these? These are the only four crimes that they possess. So if they're asking you questions that they have no jurisdiction for, it doesn't matter what you tell them. But what you should tell them is that they don't have jurisdiction. The Constitution has only delegated to them these four crimes. And so if they ask you something about, you know, where did you get that money? Well, hold it. Is that one of those delegated powers? That sure doesn't sound like it. Doesn't sound like counterfeiting. Are you asking me if I counterfeited this? No, I didn't. It comes down to understanding the jurisdiction of powers. It's not rocket science. I know for a lot of people, friends, come on. If you just start putting context to the Constitution, you'll start understanding that they can only do certain things, and anything that there's not delegated to them, they can't do it. It's kind of that simple. So what we're hoping is that you start connecting the dots, because I am telling you, Congress has no power to investigate athletic sports. They have no power to investigate any of these things. There's no power behind the FBI and what the FBI does, unless the FBI is investigating those four crimes of treason, counterfeiting, and actually those two crimes, because the FBI's jurisdiction is within the United States. They don't have any jurisdiction outside the United States for crimes committed on the high seas and or crimes committed against the laws of nations. So that's one of the things that really just sparked my interest when Obama sent the FBI into Benghazi to cover it up. They didn't go in there to investigate. They grabbed facts and they filtered those facts, bleached those facts, so that only the facts that didn't incriminate the Obama administration came back and was released. They went in there and did the cleanup. I mean, basically, it's like when Bill Clinton had his entourage to cover up his crimes of philandering and all of these other things that he was doing. Well, that group of security, as Governor Clinton performed those things, well, he implemented those very same paradigms in the FBI enforcement, because now it seems like they're doing the henchman work or the dirty work for the corrupt politicians. That's what they've been doing. They've perfected, or they've made this deep state into a well-oiled machine. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
Set the record straight. Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so why am I even talking about Congress, investigations, federal government? The Justice Department conducts their own investigations as well. They're equally tied to the same four crimes. Now, the Justice Department has asked for an internal investigation after revelations that former President Trump's administration seized phone data from the House Democrats. Now, Trump didn't have the authority to do that, nor does the Department of Justice have the authority to go and chase that down. Now, the fact of the matter is that they're that far out of control, that everybody thinks that they can do anything and everything when they are illiterate regarding the Constitution, that they don't have those powers. Now, what are we going to do about it? Well, there's only one thing we can do about it. We have to get the federal government into compliance of the Constitution. We've got to get them out of the business of making up crimes and coming down this path of being able to charge us with felonies that are unconstitutional. As you may have been hearing, that there are, you know, people that are saying, you know, the average citizen commits 3 felonies a day because the crimes are that complicated. Well, they don't have the business. They have no business meddling with creating crimes or even making them complicated. Their job is to ensure that our trade is flowing right. Their job is to ensure that we're being protected. And they're not even doing that. They have abandoned our southern border and have allowed an invasion to go on for decades, when the Constitution clearly says that the one thing they're to protect us from is an invasion. Article 4, Section 4. I'm getting into this with several people on the internet, these progressives and Karens or whatever you want to call them. And they're just freaking out because they have nothing to refute. The Constitution demands that the federal government guarantees the protection of each state from an invasion. And the Constitution clearly dictates what must be done if an invasion occurs, that they must deploy the militia or the National Guard. I'm saying the National Guard because they're claiming it's constitutional. Well, okay, we'll get their butts down there and form a line and put mines or whatever you need to do along that border so that people cannot just do-si-do across the line and put up signs. in every language possible. There are mines. You will be killed. We have this completely protected. Go away. And it stops them. Then we can turn around. Now that we've got the bad people from coming in, now we can turn around and grab all of those people who have invaded us, all 40 million, and actually deport them back to their countries. And then tell them, okay, now that you've had your sabbatical, now that you've had this rest on your sojourn, now you can go back and fix your country. I can tell you with what Kamala Harris, communist Ala Harris, what she has done is she has gone down there to help them improve on their process of getting more of their poor and needy out of Guatemala and up here so that we can tend to them and take care of them. As long as we can continue to print money, we're going to be taking care of and subsidizing the growth of communism throughout the world. It's that simple. Now, let me move on. Let me see. What other story? Oh, yes. It's one of the things I've just mentioned yesterday, that with the Biden administration's positions and policies, we're likely to find ourselves engaged in a war. Now, China, believe it or not, and their naval forces and ground forces have been testing their ability to deploy ballistic missiles designed to strike U.S. aircraft carriers. As Beijing raises the specter of an invasion on neighboring Taiwan in response to recent visits by the island by three U.S. senators. Now, see, I am here to tell you that we need to be sending the message to Taiwan, if you want to become a state in the United States, all you've got to do is apply. Our Constitution allows it. Article 4 allows any state to petition. We will put you as a territory. If you would rather become a part of the United States, this is how we can compete. This is how we will actually win this whole process and war against all of these bad players. Who doesn't want to have liberty? Who doesn't want to have the rule of law and a fair table instead of draconian measures and hard-handed communist tactics to basically control every facet of your life? So it goes on and says, this is the Chinese saying this, we have been holding night exercises on a regular basis, which usually continues until early the next day. People's Liberation Army Colonel Zhang Fan said of the Tuesday drills, according to the regional media, we have often changed training grounds, striking targets, and launch bases without prior notice to test the troops' skills and pave the way for the brigade to fight and be able to fight at any time. Well, what does that tell you? Well, folks, it looks like China's getting ready to do a first strike. And they are going, and who are they going to strike? That's right. They're going to strike you and I, America, or I should say America's interest and assets, and kill American citizens on our U.S. carriers, because that's who they're targeting. I told you. Here's a good one. In Arizona, General Mark Bronvich is the third major candidate seeking the Republican nomination, launching a bid into unseating Democrat Senator Mark Kelly. Now, I don't know who this attorney general is, but apparently I think Trump is kind of behind him. In addition, so here's, if you look at how all of these things are playing, apparently Trump is getting bad intel again in supporting the wrong people. He is supporting the GOP chair of South Dakota so that this Democrat communist can maintain his leadership at the top of the South Dakota chair. Why is he supporting him? I believe he's doing a big disservice and making a big mistake in supporting some of these people because he just doesn't know. And so there's no mechanism for him to actually get the right gouge. And it's sad. Anyway, here's a good one, because Gavin Newsom announced on Tuesday he's pulling the plug on the state's massive high-speed rail project from Los Angeles to San Francisco that was more than a decade behind schedule and billions in the red. This is Gavin Newsom, and apparently he's doing this because he's being recalled and he has to face a special election. And Gavin Newsom says, let's be real, Newsom said in his first State of the State address. The current project, as planned, would cost too much and, respectfully, take too long. There's been too little oversight and not enough transparency. What that means is that the money that's going in isn't actually going into the project. It's going into the coffers to get that money into political operatives' hands to basically buy the guaranteed type of government, more Democrats, because this is what Obama did. This is what they've all been doing. It's called the spoil systems, my friend. They use government money to fill the pockets, like what they did with Kaiser and I think it's Solyndra and Kaiser and a lot of those types of energy companies with Obama. What they did was they gave them all of these government contracts. A bunch of people came in and invested, and then Kaiser took millions, or these people take millions, they drain the company and they go bankrupt, and those contracts then go unfulfilled. And we don't go after people and nobody goes to jail. I'm telling you, if that was an absolute defense contract and it wasn't a spoil system contract, there'd be some people that'd be going to jail. But they can choose who they can forgive and who they don't. And they forgive those who are actively helping maintain the status quo. Regardless of Gavin Newsom and him shutting down the system, Biden nearly is giving them $1 billion to restore the California bullet train after Biden officials reversed the Trump position. So my bet is this, that most of this money, like I said, is going to go into Democratic kitties, unions, you know, companies, shell companies that will receive some of this stuff, and it will be laundered and it will get back into the hands of PACs and or groups that will assist in the re-election of Gavin Newsom or whomever. On top of this, it looks like a bipartisan deal is beginning to get reached on the $1.2 trillion unconstitutional infrastructure bill. So they're not only spending $1 billion in helping California with this monstrosity of a failure. What they're doing is they're putting out $100.2 billion in debt, money that is not budgeted for an infrastructure bill. And, oh, by the way, they've got enough some Republicans like Mitt Romney and others involved in spending your money. Isn't that great? Isn't it great when bipartisans can trample on and shred the Constitution? Folks, what's it going to take? We've got more news. We've got more marketing. We'll get into some actual content next week. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.